This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Well, good morning to the Democrats press conference. I'm Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator and Senate Minority Leader. With me, I have Spence Hawley, who is the House Minority Leader. Welcome to everybody online, and we'll just get started with some of the things that happened this week. It was a pretty big week in the legislature and a pretty exciting week. We passed House Bill 1182, which is the governor's education funding bill that is focused on getting teacher pay out of last in the nation. And we applaud the efforts of the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the members of the legislature that were such advocates for this bill, because it truly is a big statement in South Dakota, not only to get us out of last in the nation, but just for the morale of our the teachers in our state. And it's my contention that we truly made history with that vote and passage and moving to the governor's desk now for him to sign. And I mean, that was the funding piece of it. The other piece of it was Senate Bill 131 and 133, which are in the House now, and those are the actual formula mechanisms and some of the e-learning and things like that. But the biggest piece of this was to get the funding source, because we just didn't have the money in the current budget to make the changes needed, and we needed a stable revenue source, and that's what 1182 did. Now, was it perfect? No, and we all understand that, but it was a great step in the right direction and something that was so needed in South Dakota. And so, you know, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Spence to talk about Senate Bills 131 and 133, which we made there were some changes made to that in committee on 131. And they'll have those on the House floor either today or probably most likely next week.
Yeah. Good morning. Spence Hawley, Representative District 7, Brookings, Minority Leader, the House. 1182, obviously we had that the week before, and with a Senate passage and with a narrow margin on both sides, it really felt good. We've had this discussion about teacher pay, K-12 funding for a lot of years out here, and it's finally great to have something happen on that. The Senate Bill 131 is the actual changing of the formula from the per-student allocation formula that we're on now to the teacher-student ratio is the basis for the funding. As you know, the governor had recommended the 12.5 for schools under 200, up to 15 schools over 600 with a sliding ratio. One of the things when you look at that is that it did impact harder on the small schools. So we're able to get an amendment. Senator Sutton worked hard on that. To get down to a 12-to-1 ratio for schools under 200. Now, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but what it really does is it allows full funding for 60 more teachers in the small schools. In our case, in Brookings, under this new funding formula, we actually pick up funding for 6 more teachers, and which is nice, but in a small school, if you lose funding, full funding for 2 or 3 teachers, that has a huge impact, and if you can save one of them, it's huge. Now, that's amended in. It comes to the floor. We'll probably take it up Monday, and I have not heard of any problems coming across on that, and so we're hopeful that that can get passed as is. We had 132 that we've already passed, and that's the one that basically repealed the current laws. There was a couple amendments on there, putting $250,000 in CTE funding. There's a disagreement between the Senate and the House on some of that, a couple small portions, and we got a conference committee Monday morning that will hopefully work out the details on that one. And then Senate Bill 133, that's the $5 million expenditure that gives the teacher mentoring program. It does the sharing between schools program, and I'm drawing a blank because I'm trying to come up with all the items right now, Billy.
E-learning, yeah. And
the e-learning was another big component of that. So, moving on, and the other big items that, from our standpoint, was the veto of House Bill 1008, the transgender and bathroom discussion. obviously we oppose that. And the governor's veto letter, the governor's veto letter was correct. It wasn't a discussion on the if you're for transgender or not transgender. In our case, the bill was just poorly written. It's there hasn't been a call from the locals to solve the problem. And the governor agreed, and he said that we should leave it at the local level. They're taking care of the problem now, and there's no need for the state to step in. And then that was our position all along, so we're glad that the governor stepped forward with that veto. The Medicaid expansion we'll touch on. As you know, that letter came out from CMS last Friday, which we were hopeful. We were hoping it would come a month ago, and the governor was hoping it would come a month ago. His staff, and we met with a health coalition task force Wednesday. His staff is working to put numbers to the letter, the black and white. What does each of the points that CMS is going to allow us to do with the IHS funding, and what does that save in each line item? And I understand the governor's position that he needs time to get that information and then to sell it to the other members of the legislature. I would say it's fair to say we're very disappointed. We were really hopeful that we'd get that put together by the end of session. So we've gone back to our optimistic viewpoint again that it will get taken care of. The governor had thrown out a special session, and we would like to push that we do come back for a special session and get that done. And then we can amend the current the FY17 budget to put that back in after the number shows that it's going to work. I don't know if you want to make some comments on that, Billy.
Yeah, just that, you know, it's in the legislature, it's the art of the possible. And, you know, the governor's office didn't feel like we had enough time to get everybody educated to the level that we needed to be to get the job done this session. So, as Spence said, we are disappointed that we couldn't go down that road this session, but we are very hopeful that it is going to happen, or at least that we're going to have that policy discussion, you know, whether it's a special session or however it's handled. But it's a huge opportunity. We cannot stress that enough, that the opportunity that we have with the changes in IHS and the opportunity to then expand Medicaid will benefit so many people in South Dakota that I can't stress that enough, how important it is that we get this done and as soon as possible, but we have to exercise some patience as well.
The one thing that keeps coming up that we need to make clear, and we clarified this with the governor just to make sure we're 100% understanding it, is that there's a feeling that with this letter that we can do the IHS 100% reimbursement and not expand Medicaid, and that it's two separate issues. And that's not the truth. It is connected. And specifically, if you've read the letter from CMS, it says that the nine tribes have to approve what happens with the IHS reimbursement rate. For the tribes to approve it as it is, they don't receive a big benefit for doing that. The only way that the tribes get a benefit is if we expand Medicaid, and if we're able to take care of the tribal people when they leave the reservation and get it treated elsewhere, and it improves their quality of care and all the other items come with it. So their incentive to approve the CMS IHS funding formula is if there's an expansion of Medicaid.
Well, and not only that, but our providers in South Dakota have to agree to it as well. And in order for the providers to agree to it, to enter into these contracts with providing better services at IHS, they have to get Medicaid expansion to save themselves about $100 million a year in uncompensated care and charity care. And so they are tied at the hip, whether people like to admit that or not. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Probably just we were just talking before we started here, quick comment about our new appropriations process. Billy was on appropriations for 4 years, and I was on for 2 years, and that we've changed the system up here, and I don't know if it's been addressed from the other side here, but it's a better process in my mind. They've taken and changed the hearing process. So last week and this week, in addition to have these two major bills going through we're talking about, they've been going through the department hearings, and they're setting a line item budget for each department, and that they'll be fixing the general bill, the governor's G bill, the general appropriations funding bill, and you're putting that together. And at the same time, if there's an amendment, like for the Department of Social Services, if you wanted to add $1 million of funding for community support providers, you need to do it at that time. In the past, we always had that amendment day at the very end of session, and we had 60, 70 amendments, and we'd vote on them, and then everybody would wait around. And so now it's a much more open process. The sheets for the amendments for the day are online on the LRC's website under the budget. You can go in and you can see that day's proposed budget amendments, and you can listen to the discussion. And hopefully when we get down to next week, it's going to be a much clearer process. So it appears to be working. Again, I'm going more from visiting with our appropriators on the process, but they feel comfortable with it. And I assume you're getting the same feedback, Senator Sutton.
Way better process, way more transparent, open, and we don't have to do that horrible last day that we typically have in the past. So if with that, I think we'll open up for questions and go from there.
Just this morning, the Senate Education Committee deferred to the 41st day a bill that would have voided the state's transgender athlete policy. As you know, it was one in a set of four that dealt with transgender policies or expressing beliefs about transgender people. I'm wondering why you think these bills came up this year and what it says about the legislature, that this is an issue that was so present this year?
We can only surmise, I guess, why. It seems like we end up fighting them every year. And this year, the last couple years, it's just been more than another. I was at a conference, and the thing I found interesting is it isn't just South Dakota doing this. There's an organization out there pushing this nationally. A lot of these bills are pushed from a national level, and we have a group of people more than happy to run with it here in South Dakota. The discussion, it becomes more than the process, it becomes the transgender issue and personal choice issues and in those discussions. And a good one is the High School Activity Association. I think the High School Activity Association did a fantastic process on developing a policy for the schools. They were concerned about it, that they needed to have their schools with protection of a generalized policy. They studied it for a year, and they got input, and then they came up with a policy. Now, some people have problem with that individual, with a transgender person, so they don't think we should have a policy, period, that does anything for them. And I think that our level at state-level government, that isn't our discussion. Our discussion should be policies, procedures, what makes the best sense for our schools and for all students. And for us to step in and apply our moral values to that isn't correct.
Well, typically, I'm always proud of our state, how we have approached legislation with common sense. And I don't appreciate groups from out of state coming in and trying to create a breeding ground of model legislation in South Dakota. That's not what we're about here. We're about common sense and doing what's right for everybody, not a select few.
Other questions?
What do you think the likelihood of a special session for Medicaid expansion actually happening, and when do you think that might happen? Is there enough support for that? And tell me a little bit about the process, how that all comes about.
I think there was probably going to be quite a bit of support for a special session, but I hate to guess too much, because that'll be, you know, up to the governor to probably ask the legislature to do that. And so I hate to guess, you know, whether or not the legislature is going to, you know, if that's something that they're going to support, I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess I'm unable to be really specific either about that at this time. From my side, I guess, our side, I would see that we're supportive and pushing the governor for a special session to get this taken care of. Are we able to control that we're going to have a special session? No. But we're supportive of it and pushing for it. The governor, as you also saw in his press release, he stated that when he gets information, he's going to go around the state like he did with the school funding bills and explain it to local legislators and to the local. And he's said that he wanted to do that with this also and provide the leadership. And again, we're fully supportive of that and highly encourage him to keep doing that and moving us down the road. And anything that we can do to help enable that, we'd be happy to help with.
And, I mean, the governor has said that he's going to move forward with getting the details of this plan out and that he is committed to moving forward with this plan. And I think that's an important part of it, that he's going to play a leadership role in doing that. And it's going to take a lot of education and a big push from the governor's office.
What do you think are the biggest issues left on your plate at this point going into next week?
I would say that 131's probably the biggest issue, because that is the, as we discussed, that's the change in the formula. And that's really the crux of the reform that we're talking about within our education system. And so there are a lot of pieces in that are integral to getting, you know, capping reserves, getting money to teachers, having the new formula, the target salary that we're talking about. I mean, these are all the biggest pieces of the education reform. We got the money piece passed. Now we need the policy piece to pass. And so for me, I think 131 is the biggest thing. And then, of course, the budget.
Yeah. Yeah, the 131 is the one issue. You know, we still have 20, 25 bills on our calendar in the House side that are policy decisions, not as dramatic as ones we've made so far, but the general bill, the G bill, there's a lot of these bills that have been held back that have a dollar amount attached to them. And as these major bills are getting out of the way now, and we know what they're going to impact funding-wise, now we can go back to these other bills, the million, $2 million, $3 million request, and appropriations can start putting that all together for us on how they're going to fit into the dollars that we have available after the revised revenue schedule came out. So I see that as the discussion next week now. And the real bad news is for the public, this is the time that it's really difficult to watch the legislature in action. We'll come in for 15 minutes and go out for 2 hours and come in for 15 minutes and while all the discussion has taken place and everybody's positioning. So the 131 and then the G bill, the general bill, is the big discussion next week. We have to have a balanced budget, as we all know. We can't leave here with a negative spending, and right now it's at a negative spending level, all the bills that are in.
Will any of those issues cause, like, late days next week? How late do you think you'll go on the last day?
I tell you what, you just never know.
Yeah.
In the legislature. I think we'll get everything done. There may be some late days. There may be a lot of negotiations going on, but we'll get it all done. We always do. And we'll get out of here in pretty good time, I'm sure.
Wait and see is all I can say. I have no idea.
I will say that if Medicaid expansion would have stayed in the governor's budget, we could have been in for a little longer, longer time. But he's asked, I believe, to remove that from the budget at this time, and so that won't make the budget discussions quite as ominous, I suppose.
Yeah. Fair point.
I'm wondering if there's anything that you think got missed this session, if there's any conversation that wasn't had that should have been, and if there's anything you'd like to see taken up over the summer study.
Okay, you're talking session-wise here, the whole session. We've been saying this before session started, that we've got the two discussions on the table that we've been pushing for. Education and Medicaid expansion have been our two issues. So if you say, well, what else did you want to really get at? This was it. I mean, these are the discussions that, and Billy and I are hand in hand on this, that we've both been pushing hard in this, and our caucuses have been pushing hard in this. So this was great to have these discussions this year. The Medicaid discussion, I'm assuming we're going to have that. And with that one, that truly is the two pressing issues in South Dakota in my mind right now.
Well, I think the other one, too, that we seem to have heard a lot about from both House members and Senate members is the serious concern about the poor and increasing the sales tax on the poor. And so that leads us to a really great discussion about removing the sales tax on food. And that's something that if the folks that we're talking about, their concern for the poor are genuine, then I would hope that they would put their money where their mouth is and have a real discussion about how we make the sales tax less regressive. And a big part of that is removing the tax on food. No state around us taxes food. And that, to me, is a problem. And so I'm hoping that we can have that discussion. And that may even be something that we push for as a summer study issue is the study of how our tax system affects the poor in South Dakota, the working poor. And there seems to be a lot of concern about that we've never heard about in previous sessions. And so I hope that those concerns were sincere, and if they were sincere, then I think we'll see some movement on that discussion.
Yeah, along with that, we have almost every year I've been out here, our primary request for a task force has been a study of our state's taxation system. Do a full in-depth study of it. It's been several years since that happened. And along with what Senator Sutton's saying, that really is where we do need to go. If you had a choice of what we want to do in a summer study, that would be our choice. From our side, I would.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of Senate side, Billy. Yeah.
I agree.
Do SB 131 and 133 have a good shot of passing now that the funding mechanism is on the governor's desk?
I would say they have a really good shot. I mean, if we passed the funding piece, if the House passed the funding piece on 2/3 and so did the Senate, the 131 and 133 are only simple majorities. And so I would say that they have an excellent chance of passing. The question will be is if folks from the House side want to tweak pieces within 131 or 133. I would be surprised if 133 gets it's amended at all. It'd probably be 131 that they would be looking to amend. And so that with that change, depending on what it is, it may go to conference committee or the Senate may just concur. I mean, we'll see what that looks like as those amendments get offered. I've heard some rumblings about some amendments, but I haven't seen anything specifically yet. And the important part, at least from our side, is that we keep that 12-1 where it's at, and we try to make sure that our small schools are protected in this formula as much as possible.
Yeah, I echo what Billy says. We've heard the rumblings of some amendments for 131. Haven't seen anything yet in writing. So hopefully they're not going to be serious amendments that's come on. We do need to pass them. We passed 132, the repealer of our current funding formula. So we're going to have to pass it. And hopefully we can keep it pretty close to the format that's in right now.
Are there any questions from the phone listeners?
If not, thanks as always. Well, greatly enjoyed doing this and great questions today. And I don't know if we're going to have a press conference yet next week, but we'll discuss that. And if we do, we look forward to seeing you then.
Yeah, thank you for your time.